That's Kevin Durant speaking a couple of days ago with Chinese news outlet Sina? Or is it Sina?
John Sina?
Well, see, because it's S-I-N-A, and it's from China. I'll go with Sina. Anyway, letting it all out to a Chinese news outlet was Kevin Durant with regards to his relationship now with Russell Westbrook. Kevin Durant, of course, bailing to go to the Warriors. Scott Howard Cooper will join us here shortly, and we'll get some thoughts on that because, you know, Kevin Durant is Mr. Understated.
Right.
And what I took from those words is, yes, their relationship is slightly damaged. My guess is Russ is taking a little bit harder than Kevin did.
Yeah, but on the flip side of it, Russ has not been through this situation yet. You know, is he going to feel differently if when he's faced with the same option? Now, there's been a ton of, you know, trade rumors already after Kevin Durant left in terms of what is going to happen with Russell Westbrook and his future with Oklahoma City. But he's with the same franchise that, you know, drafted him. He's not left. He's made a go of it. But now that they've kind of broken it up with KD leaving, is he going to feel differently if he is faced with the same thing and chooses the same decision? You know, that's how I look at it. I don't know. It's weird to me putting on my player cap. I would never be upset with a teammate that decided to leave and go somewhere else, because the best type of teammate to have is someone that wants to win and wants to win it all. Because in the scheme of things, those are the players that you want to play with. They have to make, as individuals, the best decision for themselves. You develop lifelong friendships with people that you play with and against sometimes as well. So if Russell Westbrook is truly that upset about this, that their friendship is never going to be the same, then that's on him. To me, I think the hardest part for Kevin Durant right now is that he feels like a villain and he's being faced with that.
Well, the fallout's not just in Oklahoma City. Of course, it's being felt league-wide, and that's why we welcome our next guest, NBA.com. He does it all. You find him online at S. Howard Cooper on Twitter. Scott Howard Cooper, friend of the show, joining us on KHTK. Scott, it's Nate and Katie. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Yeah, quite well. This whole thing with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, I don't think anyone would be surprised to hear that Russell Westbrook has maybe some ill will towards that situation, but what surprised me the most was actually Adam Silver talking about how, listen, Kevin Durant exercised his right and we don't want to take away that, but something they might need to fix in the next CBA, that sounds kind of weird to me, don't you think? Scott, the Warriors planned for this and executed it pretty well.
Well, I think it's especially weird because that's what he said after the last CBA. was one of the benefits to the collective bargaining agreement that had been signed was that it would greatly reduce the chances of something like this happening. And I think that was Adam's main concern, is this is something the league clearly does not want. They'd rather have going into a season where there's 8 or 10 teams saying, and their fan base saying, boy, we've got a shot this year. You know, we're really excited. And now you're in a situation, and obviously it's not a guarantee for the Warriors, and it's not a guarantee for the Cavaliers, but that there's clearly one team in each conference that, when you look at it on paper, that they're clearly far ahead. And that's why Adam is concerned. And when he talks about the next collective bargaining agreement, that's something that they want to address again. And I think that's the big thing, is that address it again, because they thought they had taken care of it last time.
Now, Scott, any commissioner of any pro league, any media person, everybody wants parity because it's just overall better for your sport. But is this an indication that they did not plan well when they negotiated the last CBA for what was going to potentially happen when this TV money came into play?
I don't think anybody could have foreseen these circumstances, or at least if they knew that it was going to go up this much, then they did a poor job, and I would agree with that assessment. But this is not just on the league. This is on the players as well. And I think that that's one of the things that gets forgotten an awful lot is that we've seen some tweets and some comments since Kevin made his decision, and maybe even in some other cases that of lesser players, when you say the money that some of these guys got, Mozgov going to the Lakers, Evan Turner going to the Blazers, Biombo going to the Magic, that with numbers that just make some of their peers make a step back, that they make these comments about, are you serious, and oh my gosh, and this is craziness. Well, you know what? The players could have done something about this too, because the league went to the players and said, we want to have something, and the phrase they used was smoothing out. And that was take all this massive TV money, and instead of having it all rush in at once this summer and then next summer as well, they wanted to smooth it out and take some of this money that was coming into the salary cap and spread it out over several years so you wouldn't have something outrageous like this happening and something like the Kevin Durant happening and the Mozgov happening. And the player said, no, we don't want the smoothing out. So for all their complaining, the union, the players, could have done something about this as well.
Now that it's all said and done, Scott, how can this be addressed and fixed in the next CBA like Adam Silver says he wants to do?
Well, I'm not so sure that it can. Mm-hmm. You can't say something. I don't think you're going to see something like you can only have three max contracts on a team, for example, or two max contracts. I don't think you'll see something like that. The union is never going to allow that. They feel like there's enough limitations on salaries as it is. So I think all you can do maybe is tighten things up even more. And we've already seen a reduction in the number of years. It used to be 6 or 7 years. Now it's down to 4 and 5 years. I don't know if you're going to see something like 4 years as the cap on a max salary, or if you're going to see the percentages go down in terms of how many the raises people can get. Maybe you give greater flexibility to the current team, to the player's existing team that he's on going into free agent, and give them even more of an advantage financially over what a player could give if he stays versus if he leaves. But at some point, it's just going to come down to the other team will have, as you said, Katie, the other team will have planned it out well. And the Warriors did not break any rules to make this happen. They did not even bend any rules to make this happen. They have done a great job for many years of managing their salary cap, and the Warriors put themselves in this position to be able to be this hated team. they are happy to be the hated team because they worked hard, and they had players that were willing to take less money to remain in Golden State, and they didn't luck into this situation. This was good planning that put them in this situation.
Scott Howard Cooper joining us on KHTK. So with all that said, do you feel like there's a bit of a short-sighted overreaction to this offseason? And that, number one, I feel like the market in terms of contracts is going to even itself out over the next couple of years. But we've been through things similar to this. I think of a couple of years ago with the Lakers putting together their kind of first little super team with Nash and Dwight Howard. And we all know how that worked out. But all it really takes is for one Ben Simmons. Or like, look at Paul George in Indiana, a guy that, you know, just gets drafted, hits it big, and suddenly you've got a small market that's competitive once again.
Exactly. And just like Oklahoma City was very competitive for a number of years, and obviously San Antonio is example A. And there was many years there where Salt Lake City had one of the best teams in the league. So it is possible for the smaller markets to be successful. And that is why we have to be careful when we talk about what changes can be made going forward in the next collective bargaining agreement. It clearly does not work all the time, as we've seen. But if you make smart decisions in the draft and make good trades and make sound decisions in free agency, it is possible that the small markets can compete with the big markets.
And that kind of leads me to a little follow-up, though, regarding Oklahoma City, because now for the first time, we're going to actually see what kind of basketball market that city is. It's, you know, it's easy to sell out when you've got Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, you're competing for titles every year. They've never known anything different. So I'm wondering if the NBA has made maybe some long-term mistakes by chasing that arena money like they did moving a team out of Seattle, moving a team out of Vancouver. Those are two big markets. And, you know, Memphis has done all right, so I don't want to make them a pariah here. But in terms of Oklahoma City, would they not be a little bit better off rebuilding in a place like Seattle?
You mean, should we move them for a couple years?
No, well, I know. I mean, I'm looking back over the few years of chasing arena money and ending up in smaller markets as a result, and I think they were able to cover that in Oklahoma City by having great players. And I'm wondering if there's now going to be a problem over the next couple of years.
In Oklahoma City, I don't think so. I think that that's really a special place. And they did have bad teams there for a while, but that was when the Thunder was brand new, so it was sort of the people there got to play with their new toy. And I agree. I think it's going to be really interesting, not so much this year, because people will still show up and support that team, and they still have, you know, those guys aren't going in the tank. If they keep Russell Westbrook all season, and we don't know whether they will because now he's coming up on free agency. But if you have Russell Westbrook, Oladipo, Steven Adams, I'm forgetting somebody, that's still a good team. They're not going to go away. But I think that you raise a very fair point of what could happen. What if Westbrook leaves? Certainly if he leaves in free agency, they don't get anything in return. Maybe if they make a trade, you can at least recoup some of that. But I think the next 2 or 3 years in Oklahoma City, I think that's going to be very interesting. I do think that is a unique situation because the Thunder are so much more than a sports team there. They're part of the identity. It's not unlike the Kings in Sacramento, that they're part of the community. They're part of people's neighborhoods, and it's more than just another sports team like you have in so many different markets. But your point is well taken. Not necessarily, again, with Oklahoma City, but in other places that we're going to have to see how this turns out. But that could be the case in big cities as well. The Hawks, for many years, not so much now, but the Hawks for many years have struggled to draw in Atlanta. We all know that Indiana is a great basketball state, and the Pacers did not draw well for years when they were good. And people are frustrated in Philadelphia and New York, and let's see what happens in Chicago in another couple of years and what direction they're going. So it's certainly possible that fans stay away in big cities as well. I don't think that that's just a small market issue. It's that ticket prices have gotten so far out of hand that if you don't have a good product on the court, people aren't going to come. And a lot of it is the timing. I think, for example, the Kings are going to draw very well this year, no matter how the team does, because of the arena. But if the Kings are still not doing well in another 2 or 3 years, then it's going to be different. A lot of it is the timing. A lot of it is how well the team is doing, where are they playing, and what direction they're going.
You can find him on NBA.com. You can see him on NBA TV. Scott Howard Cooper joins us this morning talking a little NBA on KHTK. Scott, the NBA Board of Governors met last Wednesday to discuss this whole issue with the 2017 NBA All-Star Game in Charlotte, North Carolina. There was no vote as to what they're going to do. They just discussed it. First, is there an update on that?
There's not really an update other than the league continues to look at options, and this is not going to go on much longer. We're going to have an answer one way or another by later in the summer, certainly by the time the teams are getting we're all coming back together for training camp. They have not set a specific drop-dead date, but it's clear that it's sometime around the middle to late summer. If you want to talk about August, mid-August, late August, I think that at some point the league knows this can't just keep dragging on. So there is a decision coming.
If there is a decision made to move the All-Star Game, I've never heard of that. I'm not saying it's never happened, but not to my knowledge, it hasn't. What will happen from that point on? How do they decide and award a new team or a new city? And what is the process in terms of being able to turn that around and pull off a good All-Star game?
It's all about the logistics. And I think that once they get, once they have their location, once they have the skeleton of the plans in place, and that is the hotel rooms and the building space, and not just for the arena, because anyone who's gone to these events understand that you have these things, that the fan fest, and you need a secondary building, and sometimes you need a third building, and you need a huge amount of high-end hotels, mm-hmm. because it's not just the league people, it's the sponsors and the TV people, and there's officials that come in from around the world. Once that's all set, they can pull this off. It's just a matter of needing to go to a place, because conventions of this size, and not just the NBA, but a lot of organizations, these things book out years in advance. Mm-hmm. So it's not just easy to say, well, it's August, and it's not like planning a family vacation and saying we can pull this off in mid-February. These things are booked years in advance, because you need to make sure that you have thousands of hotel rooms. You need to make sure you have not only the arena itself, because often you can get that done. You move a concert or a circus or an ice show. But you need, as I said, the arena, a convention center, sometimes a secondary arena. So it's a huge undertaking, and to be doing that in June, July, and August for something that is coming up in February is a massive undertaking. But I think once they get the hotels and the arena slash convention center in place, that things will flow, things will come together, because after that it's just a matter of working out things like the security details and how to get players from point A to point B and things like that. And they've done that a million times. And any place they're going to have this, if in fact it does get moved, will have had a All-Star game before. They're not going to go someplace new for something like this. It's going to be on the fly as it is. It's going to be in New York. Maybe they go back to Toronto. Maybe they go to New Orleans. There's some talk maybe they go back to Vegas, because there's a new arena there now and they don't have to play in Thomas and Mack. It's going to be in a city that is used to huge events and has a ton of hotel space.
Might end up being Vegas. Scott Howard Cooper with us. Last thing I've got for you, Scott. The basketball world lost a legend over the weekend in Nate Thurmond after a short battle with leukemia. Yeah. He was 74 years old. And Scott, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, I knew a great deal about Nate Thurmond. He's obviously well before my time, but that's why we have guys like you on. What can you tell us about Nate Thurmond for someone like me who, you know, knows that he was one of the 50 greatest players ever, but might not know a whole lot more?
Yeah, I didn't see him either. He's before my time as well, but I've had a lot of conversations with people. I spent some time with him. He used to have this hole-in-the-wall barbecue joint in San Francisco many years ago, and I went down there and spent some time with him. And then in the years since, you'd see him at Warriors games, and very underrated as a player and certainly understated as a person. He was a contradiction, because on the court he was this ferocious rebounder, and he would score. And if you were under the boards with Nate, you would know it. You would leave with bruises. But off the court, so well-liked. The phrase was gentle giant. The Warriors made him a community ambassador, not just because he was a former player, but because he was a former player who was so well-liked. And he would be a community liaison and represent the team. And Al Attles, and now a Donald Foyle, have that job as well. And Nate was so well liked around the organization, just a good person. It's a tremendous loss, not just for the NBA, not just for the Warriors, but for the Bay Area as well, because he was as loved there as almost any former player, even though it had been so many years since he had played. And you know what? He loved the Bay Area as well. He he was a guy that in the 60s and the 70s especially loved to get dressed up and get the 1970s wardrobe going on, and he would go out and hit the city, and he later opened up two different restaurants there, the barbecue joint. He had a soul food place there in town as well for several years. And he loved it there, and they loved him, and it's a big, big loss.
A man of the city, and Nate Thurman. Scott, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you so much.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Thanks. Scott Howard Cooper of NBA.com joining us on KHTK. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a little more your ballpark, right?
What, the NBA?
Nate Thurmond.
I'm very familiar with him.
Listen to this. In 1965, he grabbed 42 rebounds in a game.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of rebounds there, Katie.
I don't care what era you play in. That's crazy talk.
And, some of the other things that Scott was hitting on there when it comes to, say, the CBA, and then, I was talking about the small markets that they're in and how Oklahoma City's going to handle this moving forward. Katie, we've been kind of going nuts over the amount of money that's been running around over this offseason and the size of this TV deal. Just imagine for a second what that TV deal would look like if you replace Memphis and Oklahoma City with the TV markets of Seattle and Vancouver.
I understand where you're going with this, but I'm glad he brought it up, because the reality of the situation right now is there's plenty of large market teams that are struggling to fill their arenas.
But the TV deal doesn't come from the arena tickets, obviously.
No, I know, but I think that
The point is that there's enough parity. Like, there are plenty of small large market teams that stink.
Yeah,
I just I think if you ask the league, hey, would you rather stink in LA or Oklahoma City? Right? Would you rather stink in Oklahoma City or Seattle?
If your
life is going to be miserable, Katie, would you rather live in Memphis or Vancouver?
I've never been to Vancouver.
Right.
So Memphis it is. I don't know.
I can't say either way, but I'm just... We have time for Don here. Hey, Don, you're on KHTK. You have some thoughts on Nate Thurmond. What's up, man?
Good morning.
Hi there.
Nate Thurmond came to Sacramento.
When?
He was about 50 years ago. Mid-60s.
Yeah.
And he was either a freshman, or in any case, playing alongside him was a young fellow named Wilt Chamberlain.
Now, was this in for Golden State?
They were San Francisco Warriors.
So, gotcha, okay.
Wilt had just been traded with the team. They'd come to San Francisco, and Wilt, first they didn't want to let him play. They claimed he had a health problem with the heart. But eventually he worked it out with a doctor from Philadelphia.
Now, can you imagine, because they only played one season together, those two did, but can you imagine trying to go up against that front line if they had kept them together? Because, Nate Thurmond was a rookie, still averaged 7-10, but get a couple years down the road and you got those two guys to deal with, man.
Yeah, not only that, but Wilt, that right then, had a broken nose. So he was playing with this god-awful mask, and he was there at over seven feet, and Nate at almost 7 feet. And I think they had Thomas Sherry as their forward.
Wow.
Incredibly, they didn't win.
Well, they needed to get rid of Will. Don, hey, we appreciate the call, man. I hope you're having a good Monday.
You too.
All right, take care. Yeah, those two, they played one season together, and then they went on to finish 1-2 in the MVP balloting 3 years later, averaging 21 rebounds and 22 rebounds a game, respectively. When we return, a little bit more on that. We'll take your phone calls. We also have some American Century Golf tickets to give away, and we'll tell you about one MLB pitcher that was dealing with cramps and kind of had a weird prescription to deal with it. We'll tell you what the doctor ordered when we return. Sports 1140 KHTK. Nate and Katie with you right up until 9 o'clock. Have no fear. Dave shall return tomorrow, thanks to Scott Howard Cooper and Emily Compagno for joining us.
To clear things up from the text line, we had a couple texters. It was like, weak, no Kings questions.
Oh, really?
I'm going to let you in on something right now. We did not ask Scott Howard Cooper any Kings questions, because there is literally no murmurs right now of any moves, anything whatsoever. We will absolutely, especially once Dave is back, give you your fill of Kings talk at a point in the season when there's literally no news.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to have to trust us that if there was something to talk about,
we're going
to
talk about it.
We would talk about it because there's just not that much going on in sports right now.
You guys don't want to talk about the Kings not winning a single game in Summer League? Zinger.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that.
Well, because
I want to talk about my visit to the OBGYN.
Okay.
It's the same kind of fun.
We also, by that token, we can't just sit here and, you know, remind you every segment that there isn't anything to talk about with the Kings. So if you don't hear them come up, we're not ignoring things intentionally. It's just that it would simply be a waste of resources to get Scott Howard Cooper, one of the most well-respected national NBA writers, to come on this show and pigeonhole him into something, especially when there's so much going on. That's right.
You know,
that's all.
And this is at a point in the year where there's not a lot of stuff to talk about, I guess, when you think of the NBA. But at the same time, I feel like there's a transition in the NBA in the off seasons over the last several years where it's becoming more of a year-round coverage. I mean, we talk about football year-round. That's a, you know, major topic on sports talk radio. There's always something to talk about, it seems like. And I don't know if it's the Tom Brady stuff that has really been filling that for the last year or so. Mm-hmm. But
if it wasn't that, it would be something else.
It would be something else. But
because before that, it was Ray Rice. And before that, it was just simply, you know, drafts and workouts and all kinds of stuff. So if it's not some sort of off-the-field crisis, there's something going on with, you know, free agency, player movement, whatever.
But a big thing that has been a topic this year, because we're going into the new TV contract where player salaries have just skyrocketed. One of the big topics has been, holy cow, look at how much money these guys are making. But I found this thing, Hoops Hype actually did it, and it was fantastic. They adjusted the highest NBA salaries
across forever for inflation.
For inflation. And it was shocking to me to see the dollar signs when adjusted based on inflation. And were you a little surprised that it was really just a couple guys?
I wasn't. And I'll let you kind of go through some of this here. There is one name that I was surprised not to see, but I'll bring that up once we get to the end. But no, I mean, as we're looking through this, there is a total of 1, 2, 3, looks like 5 guys making up the top 15 salaries of all time adjusted for inflation.
And the one that is on there the most is Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Garnett, he rounds it out at number 15. In 2007, 2008, his salary was about $27.7 million. And that's number 15. I mean, it's crazy.
That's last.
Yeah, that's last. And then let's see, the highest one for him came in at number 3 in 2003-2004 season. It was just over $38 million, what it would be today based on inflation. And that's astronomical. I mean, that's for a season. Other guys on here, we've got Shaq on there a few times, Patrick Ewing, Kobe Bryant. Michael Jordan is on there just twice, but he owns the number 1 and 2.
By far.
By far.
By
far. Yes, by far. Because like I said, Kevin Garnett at number 3 was about a little over $38 million. At number 2, Michael Jordan in 96-97 made what would have been over $46 million by today's standards. And in 97-98, just under $50 million.
You notice how there are, like, I don't know, the only contract on there from the recent CBA max-wise is Kobe?
Yes. Yeah, at number 12.
Which tells you, like, the fact that LeBron in his career has never once been one of the top 15 salaries adjusted for inflation. I mean, number one, like, that's, you know, good for him, I guess, for doing what he needs to do to build a team. But the other part, it shows you how bad the union's been over the last couple of years. And LeBron James should probably be near the top of that list, right?
You would think.
Now, but that doesn't surprise me just based on the fact, you know, max contracts, inflation currently, blah, blah, blah. It's probably all kind of even. The name that surprised me not to see anywhere on there is Hakeem Olajuwon. Just because you've got, I mean, if you look at the trend here, yeah, you've got Michael and Kobe, but the other guys, I mean, that's easy. Kevin Garnett, Shaq, and Patrick Ewing.
Right.
Right? Like three of the most dominant big men that have ever existed. All coming from eras where the dominant big man was still a thing, those all make sense to me. I'm kind of surprised when Patrick Ewing's two biggest salaries are at 95-96 and the 97-98 season, at that time, Hakeem was still the best big man in the game, wasn't he?
I would think so. Yeah.
So I'm a little surprised by that. But Patrick Ewing certainly earned the money.
It automatically, like, it triggered something in my brain looking at this list because I'm like, okay, Kevin Garnett is on there five times the most, right? He had five of the highest salaries based on inflation.
I love celery in my Bloody Mary.
You like celery?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say celery.
I did. Okay. Continue.
I know you like them in your Bloody Marys, you and everybody else. But I was like, gosh, did Kevin Garnett ever win a championship? And then it clicked. I was like, yes, he won one in Boston, but that's after he spent 12 years in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But everybody else on here is multiple time. But how many did Patrick Ewing won, correct? Gosh, I have to look this stuff up. He never won.
Nope.
So he's the only
one.
No,
in fact, he lost to Hakeem.
Ah, yeah. See, he's the only one. Everyone else, Kobe, Kevin Garnett won. Obviously, we just said that. Shaq, we all know that Michael Jordan won a few.
He won a few.
Yeah, he won a few. Which is, this is why they're on there. This is why they're the
That's
guys.
Why they make the money.
Yes.
Hey, just real quick, because I know we got to run, but we have a shift of gears here because Pablo has some Kings news for us that he's going to break.
Okay, Pablo.
Pablo, I know you're about it, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, how's it going, folks?
Good,
great.
Man.
Dude, I just thought I'd mention about Lamar Patterson. Have you heard of him?
Yeah,
yes,
I was just reading about
picked
that. The Kings claimed him off of waivers.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I thought I looked at him up on YouTube. He seems like he's pretty steady. He got a good handle, left hand. Got a good left hand. He looks a lot like Miami's old guard, Chalmers.
I'm not saying anything bad about him, but I will say this, that everybody looks great on YouTube because they don't do your worst plays. They do your best plays. So I am cautiously optimistic about that.
Lamar, we needed you, though, because you broke the news, man. Lamar Patterson.
There you go. Hey,
Pablo,
I should. I am worried about the Kings, though, as far as they're getting their butts kicked in summer league.
League doesn't matter anything, Pablo. I promise you. I would be worried if that summer league team was what our 15-man roster looked like. That's not our 15-man roster. I'm not worried about summer league.
I know. They won Summer League last year. So
that's right. That's
yeah.
See, Pablo, Katie's talking you off the ledge,
right?
Brother. We appreciate the call.
2 years ago, they won the Summer League, right? I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Thanks to Pablo on that one.
Yeah.
See, Lamar Patterson, we can tell you all about him. He of 2.5 points last year with Atlanta in 35 games.
Yes.
35% from the field, though. Anyway, when we return, we're going to tie things off with style. We've got some American Century Championship tickets for you, plus a couple of things to preview for tomorrow. Keep it right here. We'll return. It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK. Get you in the mood.
This is fantastic. A little Careless Whisper at 8:50 on a Monday morning.
A's taking 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays over the weekend. This, of course,
that,
the Josh Reddick theme song.
Yeah, that walk-up music that he chose Friday, come from behind, win for the A's. And this is what's so great about it. I listened to an interview he did post-game, and he was saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, it's not one that I go to often, but when I do, it always pays off. And I would say, yeah, it paid off. He reached base 4 times, scored 4 runs, and hit one of the A's 3 homers in their 8-7 come from behind victory over Toronto.
Josh, you're 14.5 out of first place. Put it in the rotation a little more
I
often.
Know,
that's
right?
All I'm saying. Okay, over the weekend, Jason Hamill started for the Cubs. He's been decent. They beat the Rangers 3-1. He struck out 7, improved to 8-5 with a 3.34 ERA. But Hamill's been dealing with some cramping off and on prior to the All-Star break. First, he was having to deal with cramps in his hamstring, which, you know, it might surprise a lot of people, but pitching involves your legs a lot more than people would want to think.
Yeah, with all that, like, twisting,
tighten
and
up quite
and
a bit.
Pushing, yeah.
So he got the hamstring taken care of, and then his pitching hand started cramping up.
Oh, Lord.
Goes to the team doctors, and he's like, man, what can you guys do for me? Well, he got himself a special prescription, munching on him between innings in the dugout. It's potato chips, Katie. He was told by the Cubs team doctor to eat potato chips to avoid cramping because of the potassium and sea salt.
I thought salt makes you cramp because it dehydrates you. Cramping
well, it
is
has
dehydration.
Something to, no, it does, but there's something, and BJ's on hold. He knows a little something about this, but there's something to do with, like, you need to have a little bit of, like, that's why Gatorade has, like, the electrolytes is
sodium.
Basically like sodium. It's salt. It's the
Whatever.
Same thing. So, BJ, you want to talk about prescription potato chips? I need to find this doctor, pal.
I just want to say that every morning I get cramps listening to the beautiful Katie Christian.
Yeah.
Oh, you're funny, Dave.
You know, funny for ways that even the audience doesn't know.
I know. That's why I'm sitting here rolling my eyes at you.
Notice you had to call us.
Well, I was just going to say, how pathetic am I? Nate goes on vacation. We try to call him. He doesn't pick up. Katie goes on vacation. We try to call. She forgets she even has a job with us.
No, I don't have self-service. We were doing you a solid, Dave, by not calling you while you were on a much-needed vacation.
You're lying. You were doing the audience a solid.
We already got complaints this morning because we had Scott Howard Cooper on, Dave, and didn't ask a single Kings question. And they're like, oh, man, when's Dave back? This is weak sauce.
Yeah, but that's from that 607 guy who always bitches whenever I'm on. Not that I'm reading the text lines or anything because I'm not a massive narcissist. I want to make sure that we're going to have Emily on at some point when I'm on because I got to hear bits and pieces of both your interviews, and she is like a let me tell you, you're only going to get this person for a while because she's going to be a freaking superstar.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's pretty phenomenal.
And we're going to have to start paying for her pretty soon.
Yeah, she's not bad to look at either, is she, Dave?
Whoa,
I know you looked at the Twitter account, didn't you?
Why do you assume that, A, I looked at her Twitter account, B, I saw how gorgeous she was, and C, that would affect me in any way, shape, or form? I look at her intellect.
Because I know you, Dave.
Dave.
Dude, let me tell you something. Speaking of potato chips, wouldn't kick her out for eating them. Let's put it out.
Oh, wow.
Smart.
She would
better
kick
be
you
the
out.
One bringing them home, frankly.
I know.
But no, listen, we had her on for 2 days, Dave, twice, two interviews with her. At the very beginning of the first one, we casually mentioned that she was a Raiders cheerleader. After that, the aesthetics never came up. So I want to thank Katie for bringing us back down to that level after avoiding it for 2 days.
Yeah, leave it to Katie to bring up the physical features.
Hey, it's because I know you. And I thought about this after we got off the phone with Emily and we never mentioned the whole thing, right? I know we're going to have her back on. She's phenomenal. The listeners love her. The text lines light up. The Twitter machine lights up when she's on. I know that that's our last opportunity to not mention the cheerleading thing because the first time she's on as a guest when you're here, you absolutely are going to talk about that first.
Your opinion of me is so horrible and true.
Dave, how is Galala? It's Galala, or it's
Galala.
I think it's pronounced Guadalajara, guys.
As the natives pronounce it, and they make sure it's Galala, like with a W. Looking at the ocean right now, it's foggy, and it didn't get above 64 degrees the whole time I'm here. What pisses me off is I look at the weather in Sacramento while I'm up here and get angry because every time I leave, it's unseasonably cold, and now I'm coming back, and it's going to be 104 degrees this weekend.
It is 65 and mostly cloudy here in Sacramento at KHTK Studios this morning at 8:56. So, yeah, Dave, we actually talked about that this morning, that it was so cold. Nate and I are both outside. We're freezing. And I'm like, this is Dave's perfect weather.
It is. It sucks. It's BS every time I'm gone. So, of course, the text line will light up with stay out there, which I totally get. Unfortunately for everyone, I'm back tomorrow. I know you guys have American Century Golf tickets to give away. And I think Grant starts his broadcast there tomorrow. But that being said, I just want to call and say that I love you. My whole family is asleep right now if I sound extra quiet and whiskey. 4-hour drive home today. And then tomorrow I know we have to, unless you guys already did it and I missed it, we got to sew up our King's Villains bracket.
No, that's exactly
happening.
What I was going to say to you.
We were going to tease that.
Yeah.
Well, just so you know, because I know you're not paying attention to the text line right now from the 916. Hearing Carmichael Dave as a caller takes me back. Yes, I'm old and have lived in Sacramento my whole life. Dave, you're just so beloved around here.
Yeah.
Beloved.
Yeah.
Beloved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be fun to be back in the hot weather and have to go out to the state fair. That's happened too. I know you got out there over the weekend. Really, I just wanted to say I miss Nate. When I get back, I'm gonna kiss you right on the mouth.
Yeah. Hey, me too, Dave.
Oh, drive safely, Dave. We miss you.
Yeah,
I miss you. See you tomorrow.
See ya. Drive safe.
Okay. Bye bye.
No, that's the marvelous David of Carmichael.
Yes.
Yeah, me fooled with the BJ bit. The classic bait and switch.
That was for me. That was a direct little jab at me.
Oh, subtle too.
Yeah. And not for what people are thinking, by the way. God, I just realized that probably came across really bad.
Call our 11 right now. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You'll win a 4-pack of tickets to the American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament in South Lake Tahoe, happening July 22nd through the 24th at Edgewood Tahoe Golf Course. Grant is going to be up there. You'll get to see all the celebrities. You get to hobnob, rub elbows, whatever the heck you want to call it. Kiss babies and shake shake it when you're in Tahoe. That's the whole
shake
point of going
golf
up there.
Club?
Thanks to Emily Compagno, thanks to Scott Howard Cooper, to Katie, to Matt, and to even BJ for calling us at the end of the show there. I'm Nate. This has been The Drive. Thanks for bearing with us for 3 days. Jim Rome is next on Sports 1140 KHTK.